Hi, I hope you're all having a good day at LSC. I think you've made a good choice coming joining us because we do have air conditioning. My name's Jack. I've just finished my first year as a government and history student here.
My name is Jonathan, and I'm a third year geography with economic students, just about to finish my LSE career, sadly.
So essentially, we've been asked to come here just to give a sort of a student's perspective about living and studying in London. So we're just going to cover some advice we'd give, talk about the facilities on offer at LSE, talk about the accommodation, and just our general experience. So to kick things off, we'll give a brief introduction to what studying in London is actually like. So there are over 40 universities, five of which are in the top 15 in the country. And as such, it's the amount of resources on offer as an LSE student is incomparable to external. Sorry, I can hear John McEnroe's voice, sorry. There we go. Right. Yeah. So that's what I was saying. It is incomparable to non-London universities. You can, as a LSE student, go to any other University of London library, whether that be UCL's, SOAS's, or any of the others. Also, I think it was the last count, there's 196 countries represented at LSE, which, past the sort of cliche of it being a diverse, cosmopolitan like society, it actually benefits you as a student because you're bringing in different people's thought processes who won't think in the same way that you think as a European. And by having all those different opinions, it makes discussion and considering important topics in social sciences that much more interesting and that much more beneficial to you as a student.
So a common concern that many of you might actually have is that by studying in London, London is very different to general other university cities. In particular, London, there's no really sort of campus here. And it's true, there's no particular student area, and LSE isn't a traditional campus uni per se. But we kind of see things a bit differently to that. So we see London as your campus. And London is the world's leading academic city with a wealth of resources. It has one of the finest concentrations of academic resources. Things like the British Library, other specialist libraries that are around in London. London also has the finest range of museums and galleries, just off the top of my head, the British Museum and the Tate Modern, just within walking distance from here. But most importantly, London's also home to leading institutes and professional bodies. So we've got things like the Royal Institution, the Royal Geographical Society, and all of these other institutes have their own facilities. So they're doing their own lectures, they have their own libraries, and they have their own other facilities, giving you yet another level of academic resource. Now, these additional resources aren't matched anywhere in the UK, even in Europe, or arguably even in the world. And they're not just going to be places for you to kind of see or visit in your spare time, if you have any, that is. But they might be tied in to your programme of study, meaning there's a lot of relevance there for you. And we'll touch more about this later, but all the accommodation at LSE, all the halls, they're all centrally located. Really, the sites and all the facilities are on your doorstep, giving you a sort of campus-like feel. But you can also live in intercollegiate halls. So intercollegiate halls being where other students from other University of London institutions will also live. Then again, giving you more of a kind of student feel where you live. But of course, there is much more to London than academia alone. And there are thousands of ways to spend both your free time and your money, ranging from culture, sport, shopping, leisure, music. Really, there's not much you can't do in London. We found that there are over 250 galleries, over 200 theatres, more than 600 cinema screens, 300 music venues, and even six full-time symphony orchestras. Like I said, there's not much you can't do in London, so there's really no excuse to be bored, and there's always something for you to do. And to bust a common myth about London is people tend to think it's pretty much just like tall buildings and concrete everywhere, skyscrapers, etc. But actually, London is one of the greenest capital cities on Earth. Open space accounts for about 30% of the city area. So you've got big parks like Hyde Park, Regent's Park, but even like smaller parks and smaller terraces, even within the city of London. There are even roof gardens and terraces on LSE's campus. There's one on the roof of this building, for example. And again, London is not as expensive as you might think. It's actually a bit more affordable. Being a student in particular allows you to access a range of discounts from student accommodation, student discount on public transport, cinemas, restaurants, theatres. But we also have great facilities on campus as well, and often these facilities are subsidised. So it's a great way of meeting new people, doing new things, and especially through the kind of clubs and societies that the Students' Union runs. And obviously, there are many ways to spend your money in London. That's what we've been talking about. And that's why London can be expensive, because you're spending your money on so many different things. But NatWest actually voted London the most cost-effective city in the UK for students and to study, based upon two reasons that people often don't realise. Firstly, there are increased working opportunities in London, and we'll talk more about part-time work later. But if you want to be a student, you want a part-time job, London's great for that. They're available in many places. And secondly, in London, you get a higher rate of pay. So most organisations and employers in London, including LSE, will pay you the London Living Wage, which is higher than the national minimum wage. So again, it's a nice way of making things a bit more affordable.
So now for the fun topic. So I'm from Manchester originally. So I was 12 months ago when I was sat in this hall listening to this talk, was terrified that things were going to cost a lot of money. I was convinced like a can of Diet Coke would cost about £3 in London. I thought that's what I was dealing with. So to sort of calm some nerves, a lot of things in London aren't as expensive as you think. Groceries aren't much more expensive than what I pay at home. And leisure activities, I'm a huge music fan, and I can afford to go to gigs all the time, pay £5-6 a ticket and not feel like, you know, my budget's being pushed to the limits. But obviously as a student you do get discounts that you need to take in consideration. I'm sure a lot of you are aware the National Union of Students gets a discount at a lot of shops, high street stores like Topshop, Topman, New Look, McDonald's. But you can also take advantage of campus, what goes on campus. So we'll touch later about societies, and they hold free events. Each society will hold a free event once a week, so you're never going to not be able to access free, you know, social activities at the university. But other student things you can use, student Oyster card will get you, instead of paying £2.30 for a Zone 1-2, it's £1.50. A young person's rail card is 30% off all rail fares. If you get a Santander student current account, you get one of the highest interest rates available, and you also get a free rail card. So I definitely, as a tip, consider opening up an account with them, even if it's just to get the free card. Also, the NUS extra card is an additional on top of your NUS card. It's £12 a year, and you get more discounts at most shops. I think the most impressive one is you get Spotify for half price, so you're paying £5 a month for Spotify, which when you think about it, it's saving £60, and you're only paying £12 for the card, so definitely worth looking at that. don't splurge out on books. We have a library, as you've seen. It's got 5 million books in it, so I'm pretty sure you'll find the one you're looking for. All popular books, so the textbooks that you use in your courses, are online, free of charge, and you can access them easily. But if you do want the book, look at our second-hand bookshop, Alpha Books, not Waterstones, because you'll get as good a new copy for nearly half the price. In terms of how much you can borrow from Student Finance England or the sort of equivalents in England, Scotland and Wales, obviously there's a separate finance talk, but we'd recommend looking at Student Calculator, which is run by Student Finance England to determine if you give a rough guide of what your parents earn, where you're from, where you're planning on studying. They can give a rough idea of what you'd expect to be able to get as a maintenance loan. But in London you do get £2,000 more if you're studying in London than if you're studying outside of London. International students can also, there's a separate calculator if you Google that. So onto a topic similar. I'd probably struggle to live in London if I didn't have a part-time job. But I do really like my part-time job. I'd have one even if I could live without one. I think it's a great way to get away from studies and, you know, live a more normal life for a while. As Jonathan said, job opportunities in London are extensive. Especially at the university. So we have student ambassadors like we are, stewards for our public events. You can work in the offices for the departments to do basic admin work for them. You can work for the Students' Union behind the bars, behind the shops. And as you can see there, LSE's careers office does have an advertisement board online for all job opportunities. And essentially, if you want a job, it's very easy to get one. And at a flexible rate, and high wages. One tip I would give would be, if you were to look for a part-time job, try and look for one inside your university. This goes for any university you end up going to. Because if you want to go home on the holidays, say Christmas, for the 4-week period you've got off, you don't want to be tied down to every Wednesday at Primark, where they want you to be there every Wednesday right up to the 25th of December when you want to be back home. So if you work for the university, you'll only be working in term time, and they're aware that you're a student, so they only let you work 15 hours a week, and they let you have flexible working hours. You say when you want to work, and they will give you the work for those hours. It's less that the hours are forced on you. You pick when you want to work. So I definitely recommend working at the university, not outside of it, if you can. Obviously, it goes without saying that you shouldn't take a full-time job. University study is 35 hours a week. I don't know how you'd manage to fit a 40-hour week in there, but, you know, someone might try.
So some of you might know, some of you might not know, but one of the real perks that LSE sort of has is that they organise a series of public lectures every year, where a kind of variety of very prominent speakers in the social sciences come to speak generally for free to the public here at LSE. So where we're sitting now is often used as a lecture theatre for kind of maybe the Dalai Lama to come and speak, or Christine Lagarde, like you can see on screen. Some events require prior registration. Normally the ones they think are going to be most popular require you to register online. But what's great as an LSE student is that they kind of ring-fence a set number of tickets for the students, so we kind of really get priority, which is, again, great. But they're open to the public, so any of you can go. And if any of you want to go, we kind of recommend that you'd have a look at our programme events list online. They're available there to register if you need to. But again, it's a nice thing to do if, say, you listen or go to a public lecture, something that interests
you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. People wave their arms. I think it's automatic. Oh, my... Oh. Just adds to the atmosphere. There we go.
See, it's Wimbledon back on. Where were we? So, yeah. If you are interested, it's a nice thing to do. Just go to a lecture of your interest and then maybe write about it in your personal statement. It's a nice way of demonstrating your interest in the topic, or even LSE if you want to apply here. There are also audio podcasts available, so if you can't make a lecture or you see one in the past that you want to listen to, again, you can do that there. They're very accessible.
So the Students' Union, so every university has a Students' Union, for people who don't know. They act as the middleman between the students and the university, ensuring that students' welfare is looked after. So if they're not happy with the way they're being taught, you contact the Students' Union, they will campaign on your behalf towards the university if you have issues. But they also are the home of our societies, which is essentially our extracurricular activities. We have over 200, and I keep trying to name them, and the first one that comes into my head for some reason is knitting, and I don't know why. But we also have fashion, chocolate, gaming, wine appreciation.
Hummus.
What was that one?
Hummus Society.
Hummus Society, didn't know that one.
Hummus aficionados.
Yeah, so that demonstrates the range of bizarre ones. But we also have sports teams, all our sports teams. Yeah, you struggle to find a team that's not represented. Obviously, we're in the centre of London, so it's difficult to find a football pitch unless you storm the Emirates. So we do have 25 acres of playing fields in New Malden, which I think is a 15-minute train ride from here, where we have all sports facilities needed. But you can also have national societies, so anyone planning on keeping a language going and not necessarily want to do it as a degree can attend social society events designed to discuss in the language of your choice. And also academic societies, which might not sound particularly like thrilling, But they do run fun events based around your subjects. So, like, my history department run trips around London all the time with, like, let's go to Karl Marx house or, you know, things like that. Societies are a great thing to do just because you're guaranteed to meet people you'll get along with. So you've come to a new place, you don't really know anyone, and then you go into a room of people, but you know you'll get on because you all share a common interest. That's the only reason why you're there. You're there to enjoy whatever the society's about. Also, if our societies don't cater your needs, you can happily set one up. The SU will give you funding to start your own society. And if you want, you can get involved in the societies and run for the elections to chair that society or become the treasurer. What's next? So the Sorswee Hock, the brick new wave building that over around the corner, that you've probably seen. It's the home of our students' union. It's got all the services you'd need if you had any problems. So accommodation services are based there, careers advice is based there. Also food, catering. We have a brand new gym there, which is, I believe, £20 a month, £30 a month. I think £30 a month. And also a faith room for all religions.
So this map, again, just kind of highlights and emphasises LSE's central location and the fact that London really is your campus. So LSE is obviously the LSE there on the map. So we're kind of midway between St Paul's Cathedral, the Bank of England, and the City of London to its kind of east. And then to the west, you've got Westminster Palace, Piccadilly Circus. But all of the sites on that map you can see there, they're all really within walking distance from LSE. Kind of everyone thinks that, yes, London is quite big, but central London's quite compact. You can walk to most places. I walk around to most places. It's a good way of kind of saving money instead of taking the tube, but also it's often quicker. It's often quicker just to walk somewhere instead of having to use public transport. But again, we're kind of situated in what's kind of known as lawyer land, so we're right next to like the Inns of Court, and it kind of gives you this central location in the heart of London, many opportunities and resources that are kind of unmatched anywhere else. So we've talked about the facilities available for you that are on your doorstep. If you're interested in sport or music, the facilities and resources in London for you located very close to you. But also, if you're considering maybe working in London, working in the City of London, being located in London is great. So for example, you might have a job interview at sort of 10:30 in the morning. You can go to a job interview and take the tube home and then make your 2 p.m. lecture. Whereas people in other universities, they might have to take a train, stay overnight somewhere, get accommodation somewhere. And just as a personal anecdote, studying and living in central London, for me, often I'll go to maybe employers' offices and go for networking drinks or events. And I've got to speak to some really senior people, like CEOs, CFOs of companies, purely because they kind of work in those offices. And I study here, and it's just a nice, happy coincidence. So again, it's something to consider when you're choosing London, if maybe you're thinking about working here in the future. It's a nice little segue onto that. But of course, probably the biggest, well, one of the biggest concerns alongside money for prospective students and their parents is accommodation. Obviously, I think it's quite well known that London's housing market is kind of quite fluid and quite a bit of harder to navigate than elsewhere. So what LSE do is they guarantee accommodation for all first-year undergraduates. And that's in central London as well. Maybe in the future, if you stay in London, you never have a postcode like that ever again. In total, we have 8 undergraduate LSE halls, so those are just for LSE students. And we also have 4 University of London intercollegiate halls. So in those, you'll be living with students from other universities in London, maybe UCL, King's, etc. And there are a range of accommodation options. You can have a single room or a shared room, in a flat or a corridor. You can be catered or self-catered or have an ensuite or shared. It's all up to you, you know, how much or what facilities you want, how much you want to pay, etc. The general starting cost for a single room is about £180, but you can get a shared room if you want to be paying less than that. I'm not sure how much it is. Do you know?
I'm in a shared room. I pay £137.
So £137 a week for a shared room. Like I said, it's guaranteed for all first-year undergraduates, so it's really in up to your consideration. But having said that, in second year and third year, because it's guaranteed for first-year undergraduates, most people won't stay in halls. Some do, but the majority will go and live in the private sector and rent from private landlords. But that's not to say that LSE doesn't give you any support. So we have LSE StudentPad, which is our online private housing database. So on there, you can kind of search for suitable properties, contact landlords directly, etc. And you can also use University of London's services. So they have an accommodation team called their self-catered accommodation team. And they have their own accommodation in self-catered flats and houses. And lastly, you can, of course, kind of check adverts on notice boards or in the Students' Union. People are often advertising for flatmates and stuff. So a lot of support there. And this map is just a map of all of the LSE's halls of residence. And of those there, they're all at most 20 to 25 minutes away from LSE walking distance. Today, 2 of them are open. So there's Parsfield, that's the PA, by University College Hospital and Russell Square Tube Station. And there's also Bankside House, which is right by the Tate Modern, the BA on there. So both of those are open today. We'd recommend if you have time, go and visit one, if not both of them. It's a nice way to see kind of what living in halls might be like. You get to speak to some students who live there, kind of ask many questions you have and just see whether Halls and LSE is right for you. I actually lived at Bankside, so did Jack. So if we're a bit biased, but do try and visit if you can. I think there are buses running to Bankside from Lincoln's Inn Fields.
So we've been asked to sort of finally end with like a student's experience sort of slide. I absolutely love living in London. I think the opportunities available here are second to none. And yeah, there are bad bits. Yeah, there are bits that wind me up. But the sheer number of opportunities you have outweigh that so much. In terms of, I was asked before we started about how you come from somewhere else and get used to sort of the busyness of London. I'm not entirely sure because I'm from Manchester, so I'm from another city, so I was sort of used to it. But what I'd say and what I did is just set off and walk with a map in Freshers Week and get lost and see where you find, see where you end up. And you might end up somewhere brilliant and you just never know. I still don't have a clue where I'm going, by the way. Don't feel the need to, like, know where you're going. I just sort of have a rough idea where things are and let other people take me there.
The maps at the corner of every street do tend to help.
Like, yeah, they're great. Yeah. It's one thing Boris has done brilliantly. Let me know where I'm going. In terms of homesickness, don't be afraid to go home. No one's going to judge you. Everyone does it. People do it. I probably go home twice a term. Some people go home more. Some people go home less because of the sixth death of the family. But what I'd say on top of that is like a caveat is, maybe don't go in the first 2-3 weeks. If you go too soon, you'll never stop. You'll never get into the habit of living on your own and living independently. So everyone has their bad days and everyone misses home. Just try and grin and bear it for the first couple of weeks. Maybe speak to people about it and then go home maybe after a month, because you'll feel more settled in if you've given yourself a chance to have a go at it before you go home and see your family for the weekend and let them cook. In terms of the difference I've learned at university, a lot of people I know, well, I was, worried about how hard the work is. What I'd say to that is, especially in the first year, it's sort of a process. So your GCSEs were slightly easier than your ASs, your ASs were slightly easier than your A2s, and you'll find that the jump between A2 and first year degree isn't as big as you'd find it, and it's just a smooth transition, and you probably won't notice it. The one aspects of a university education that might shock people is the sort of independence it requires. So you'll only have 8 to 10 hours of contact time. The rest of it is down to you. It's down to you to do the reading. It's down to you to write the essays. There's not going to be anyone there pushing you. If you don't write the essay, you get a zero. If you don't do the reading, you're humiliated in the class because you haven't got a clue what's going on. You know, it's an easy skill to pick up, but you have to pick it up, essentially. There's no two ways about it. I was quite an independent person at 16, 17, so it didn't really notice it. But people who do rely on their families a lot maybe start not doing for a while. I know it's hard to say, but the smoother you make that transition into sort of, so you're not just jumping in at the deep end, the easier it'll be, I'd say. Oh God. Technical difficulties all the time. There we go.
So if you couldn't tell from my accent, I grew up in North London, about maybe 45 minutes away from LSE. And so when I was maybe 16 or 17, if you asked me where I wanted to study when I was planning my future, I would have never said London. I just wanted to kind of escape the bubble, kind of like go far away from the parents of the Monist and then kind of find my own way. But it's funny how things work out, and now after my 3 years here, I could not imagine living or studying anywhere else. I love London. But having said that, it is a bit of a cliche, but it's important for all of you Londoners in the audience who are thinking of studying in London to really kind of make the most of your experience. Do try and break out of your comfort zone. It is really easy to kind of go home every weekend, see your friends from home, kind of see people you know, admittedly go home, bring washing home, kind of pick up food at home. It's very easy, but it's probably not in your best interest to do so. Kind of make friends at LSE or in any university you're at. Kind of really ingratiate yourself and immerse yourself into it. Do kind of try different things, break out of your comfort zone, explore different areas. Another cliche, but studying kind of in London away from home, it is like being a tourist in your home city. It's very different, it's very eye-opening, and very enriching. Another thing, London is very culturally enriching. It really, studying here opens your eyes to a different kind of environment and a different sort of London. London itself, again, is well known to be very diverse. LSE in particular is quite diverse around however many countries students are from. And that's a good thing. It kind of helps you to think in a different way, meets new people, immerse yourself into new ways of thinking, new cultures, etc. And then, and particularly for me, I think this is a great advantage, is once you're making so many friends from around the world, if you ever went on holiday, if you go abroad and kind of visit your friends abroad, you don't even have to pay for accommodation. So it's another perk of that. And lastly, do remember to kind of get involved. I said it already, kind of make the most of your experience, join clubs and societies, meet people. It's important not to just go home all the time. It's easy, but it really, I emphasize, don't do it. Really do get involved.
On that note, my mum did joke before I left that if I didn't become friends with the Prince of Luxembourg, she'd be very upset that she didn't get a free Swiss chalet every now and again. But, you know, you can't have everything. So LSE is embracing modern life. We do have social media, blogs and YouTube, so do keep in touch. But two things that I did want to highlight to you as we end is student shadowing, where if you contact the department, they'll allocate you with a first-year student to take you to one of their lectures. So it's a free, totally free way of getting experiences of what a lecture's like. It takes up 2 hours tops, and I'd recommend it highly. Also, if you have any questions and want to speak to someone like us, the email and alum system is set up so that former students get sent your questions and they answer them via email. So I'd definitely take advantage of that if you have any questions. So that's the end. Does anyone have any questions?